when her father died, was 19. We must begin yet a little earlier, and say that there had been, and had died many years before the death of Egbert Dormer, a clerk in the Admiralty by name Reginald Dosset, who, and whose wife, had been conspicuous for personal beauty. Their charms were gone, but the records of them had been left in various grandchildren. There had been a son born to Mr. Dosset, who was also a Reginald and a clerk in the Admiralty, and who also in his turn had been a handsome man. With him, in his decadence, the reader will become acquainted. There were also two daughters, whose reputation for perfect feminine beauty had never been contested. The elder had married a city man of wealth when he married her, but who had become enormously wealthy by the time of our story. He had, when he married, been simply Mr., but was now Sir Thomas Tringle, Baronet, and was senior partner in the great firm of Travers and Treason. Of Travers's and Treason's there were none left in these days, and Mr. Tringle was supposed to manipulate all the millions with which the great firm in Lombard Street was concerned. He had married old Mr. Dosset's eldest daughter, Emmeline, who was now Lady Tringle, with a house at the top of Queensgate, rented at £1,500 a year, with a palatial moor in Scotland, with a seat in Sussex, and as many carriages and horses as would suit an archduchess. Lady Tringle had everything in the world, a son, two daughters, and an open-handed stout husband, who was said to have told her that money was a matter of no consideration. The second Miss Dosset, Adelaide Dosset, who had been considerably younger than her sister, had insisted upon giving herself to Egbert Dormer, the artist, whose death we commemorated in our first line. But she had died before her husband. They who remembered the two Miss Dossets as girls were wont to declare that though Lady Tringle might perhaps have had the advantage in perfection of feature and an unequal symmetry, Adelaide had been the more attractive from expression and brilliancy. To her Lord Sizes had offered his hand and coronet, promising to abandon for her sake all the haunts of his matured life. To her Mr. Tringle had knelt before he had taken the elder sister. For her Mr. Pogram, the popular preacher of the day, for a time so totally lost himself that he was nearly minded to go over to Rome. She was said to have had offers from a widowed Lord Chancellor and from a Russian prince. Her triumphs would have quite obliterated that of her sister, had she not insisted on marrying Egbert Dormer. Then there had been, and still was, Reginald Dosset, the son of old Dosset, and the eldest of the family. He too had married, and was now living with his wife, but to them had no children been born, luckily, as he was a poor man. Alas, to a beautiful son it is not often that beauty can be a fortune as to a daughter. Young Reginald Dosset, he is anything now but young, had done but little for himself with his beauty, having simply married the estimable daughter of a brother clerk. Now, at the age of 50, he had his £900 a year from his office, and might have lived in fair comfort, had he not allowed a small millstone of debt to hang around his neck from his earlier years. But still he lived creditably in a small but very genteel house at Notting Hill, and would have undergone any want rather than have declared himself to be a poor man to his rich relations, the Tringles. Such were now the remaining two children of old Mr. Dosset, Lady Tringle, namely, and Reginald Dosset, the clerk in the Admiralty. Adelaide, the beauty-in-chief of the family, was gone, and now also her husband, the improvident artist, had followed his wife. Dormer had been by no means a failing artist. He had achieved great honour, had at an early age been accepted into the Royal Academy, had sold pictures to illustrious princes and more illustrious dealers, had been engraved and had lived to see his own works resold at 5 times their original prices. Egbert Dormer might also have been a rich man, but he had a taste for other beautiful things besides a wife. The sweetest little phaeton that was to cost nothing, the most perfect bijou of a little house at South Kensington. He had boasted that it might have been packed without trouble in his brother-in-law Tringle's dining-room. The simplest little gem for his wife, just a blue set of china for his dinner-table, just a painted cornice for his studio, just satin hangings for his drawing-room, and a few simple ornaments for his little girls. These, with a few rings for himself, and velvet suits of clothing in which to do his painting, these, with a few little dinner-parties to show off his blue china, were the first and last of his extravagances. But when he went, and when his pretty things were sold, there was not enough to cover his debts. There was, however, a sweet...